I want guys to have fun playing in the preseason, have at it. Winning is an important thing. My memories of preseason, some of my most favorite memories are from the preseason. Because you played good, team won. You made a name for yourself. I mean, there's the opportunity is, it's like somebody's handing you this opportunity. Hope for all guys that they come out of this game like Tony Jefferson came out of the Cowboys game last year. Tremont Morris Brash, his play, you know, him scoring a touchdown. Just the juice that football gives you.
Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh. Forgotten Victor Cruz there as well made a name for himself in the preseason. I think he was wearing number 3 at the time for the Giants when he kind of broke out and then eventually goes to number 80. Got a few years there out of him. Chargers are interesting. They are playing in the Hall of Fame game tonight against the Detroit Lions. Game time at 8 o'clock in Canton, Ohio. Trey Lance, we know, is going to be the starting quarterback for the Chargers. That clip alone makes me think that Lance might be playing a lot tonight. That Harbaugh mentioned making a name for yourself. Now I could absolutely envision Lance plays a ton tonight. On the Chargers as a whole, though, and really, I guess maybe the whole AFC West, I wonder which of the Chargers and Denver takes that step forward. Because I think the Chiefs are somewhat susceptible. I think they are a little bit, not weaker, but just time gets everybody. Eventually, another team arrives and fights you a little bit. It could be 20 years down the road, look at the Patriots, but it also could be, you know, like the NFC East, where a team like Philadelphia looks untouchable, and maybe this year Washington beats them. You never know. But both the Chargers and the Broncos made the playoffs last year and have added. I like the Chargers draft, at least the first two rounds. Amarian Hampton and Trey Harris both are pretty good weapons. They add to that offense that really did need additions. The passing game outside of Ladd McConkey was not very good. The run game was fine, especially because you do have a Greg Roman run offense. But now you add that little bit extra. What do they have? Herbert is such a curious case study as a quarterback. He is a very good quarterback. He threw for 5,000 yards. He's been to the playoffs multiple times. He's big. He's athletic. He's kind of cool, calm, and collected. But he does tend to unravel at times, at very weird times, too. It's not just in the playoffs. He's only had 2 playoff games. But it's in just kind of random moments where he'll look incredible and then, oh, all right, what just happened? Now, you do wonder, is it the Chargers, the talent around him, the coaching? Maybe, probably a little bit of it. But it's not that long ago that Herbert was considered this guy that, man, if he was just on a better team, he's on the same tier as Allen, Lamar, Mahomes, Burrow, no question. Now 2, maybe 3 years after that, it's a question. It's much more of a, yeah, I don't really know about that. I like him. I don't know if I love him. And that's sort of where I sit. He does kind of everything I'd want my quarterback to do. Again, he's big, athletic, cool, kind of collected guy, kind of a little bit of a nerd in almost that sense. But he hasn't really taken that next step. Now, to be fair, it's kind of hard for him. He hit the ground running to start. 15 games his rookie year, over 4,000 yards passing, 31 touchdowns, 10 picks. He's great from the word go. The next year he throws 5,000 yards, 38 touchdown passes. Then the next 3 years, it's, you know, 4,700 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, only plays 13 games the next year, but it's 3,100 yards, 20 touchdowns, 7 picks. And then last year, under 4,000 yards, but they're 11-6, and he only throws 3 picks. However, he then throws more than that in the playoff game against Houston. Houston, by the way, doing that 2 years in a row, Chargers and then Cleveland the year prior, where they just absolutely kill a quarterback that had been hot up to that point. He throws 4 picks, and they're just not really in the game. Now, a lot of it, too, was the receivers weren't very good, but he in particular wasn't very good either. I'm not going to give him a complete break for that. And so the Chargers have become a team like Harbaugh freaks me out, Jim Harbaugh. I think the guy just knows how to win football games, just flat out. Doesn't even have to have a great team. He's going to win football games. But you look around the AFC West, it is loaded with coaches that just happen to win games. Pete Carroll with Vegas. Harbaugh, as I mentioned, with the Chargers. Peyton with the Broncos. And then does it even need to be said, Andy Reid in Kansas City. They're all just really good coaches, if not Hall of Famers. So now I look at the Chargers, we get closer and closer to the regular season, and I wonder, are they really going to be that scary of a team with Harbaugh? Because I like Denver better. I like Denver far better, if we're just asking talent-wise. That defense is incredible. They already have the Defensive Player of the Year in Patrick Surtain. Now they add a guy like Jahdae Barron into that secondary. Their line was phenomenal. I think my only issue with Denver is, you know, what do you actually have in terms of offensive firepower? Because Bo Nix had a very good rookie season, but we've also seen those rookie seasons, those very good, hey, they're here, they've arrived. We've also kind of seen it not take off. The second year is a bit more of a struggle. I look at their wide receiver room. Yeah, they just pay Cortland Sutton. He's pretty good. Am I expecting a lot from Marvin Mims or Pat Bryant? Troy Franklin didn't do anything last year, and he was with Bo Nix in college. They add Evan Ingram. You think he's fine? Not great. And running back room, it's R.J. Harvey, J.K. Dobbins. But that defense is so good. And I trust Sean Payton enough because, as I mentioned earlier today with Keon Coleman, I mentioned I listened to Albert Breer, I think like his five thoughts on what he saw on Tuesday from Bills camp. He mentioned Keon Coleman, and he mentioned the Bills are going to look for him to fill like that Marcus Colston kind of role. Marcus Colston was a seventh-round pick, and in his rookie year, he had over 1,000 yards with Sean Payton as his coach and Drew Brees as his quarterback. So as much as I used to give Sean Payton a little bit more grief, I think he deserved a little bit more flack for the ending of his time in New Orleans, especially at the time. A lot of Bills fans were banging the drum to bring in Payton, and it was because of the playoff failures. And I'm like, man, were you guys not paying attention to the New Orleans Saints the last 5-6 years? Like, that's who he was. He's just on the offense. But it was bad playoff failures. Some his fault, some not. This is also a team that lost to Kirk Cousins in Minnesota in a playoff game. But I do still have to respect that he is still a very, very good coach. He is that 100%. The AFC West, I think, should be awesome this year. I think it should be a blast. We've said that, though, a few times with these divisions that were just like, oh, man, put every divisional game on pay-per-view. I'll pay for it. Let's go all of them on primetime. The AFC West was a part of this. You know, when Russell Wilson first got traded to Denver and you had Herbert already there and Carr was with Vegas and then, of course, the Chiefs. And you're like, this is a fireworks show. Look how amazing this is. And it's a wet fart. It's terrible. Russell Wilson is not good at all in Denver. The Chargers are, in fact, the Chargers. And the Raiders don't have, like, that weird win or two every year. But the last, you know, decade and a half, outside of, you know, two seasons, they're a pretty useless franchise for the most part. It's been the Chiefs running the show. I mean, they've won, what, 15 division titles in a row? Something absurd like that. But this year, I do feel like maybe they won't win, but I do like the Denver Broncos to really give them a fight. And I could absolutely be wrong on the Chargers as well, especially if Amarian Hampton and Trey Harris hit and Herbert kind of takes another step with Harbaugh there. Could be big for them. And then all of a sudden, and this is why I brought up the Bills with the one seed and why I think it's such a big year for the Bills because of how everything else is shaking out, right? Every year for them is a big year with Josh Allen at quarterback. That doesn't need to be said. But I think in particular, there are some years where it's more exciting. There's more interest. And this is one of those years. The AFC East is not very good. The Dolphins look to be potentially in a tailspin. The Jets are fully restarting. And we'll see about the Patriots. Although I heard Sneaky Joe bring up some of the reports from Patriots camp. They're inconsistent at best on offense. And Drake May's accuracy has been a bit of an issue. I think it's also fair to say, looking at the second-year quarterbacks, not everyone's going to progress. Some of those guys will take a step back. Maybe it is May. Also brought up, it could be Bo Nix because you look at that wide receiver room and you have to wonder who he's throwing the ball to consistently outside of Cortland Sutton, who is good but not great. Then you have the AFC North. Baltimore will be good. Cincinnati, though, their defense, I don't think has gotten any better. And Trey Hendrickson, while has reported, has still not signed his new contract. And he's been pretty firm in the fact that he won't play under his current contract. I don't know if that's totally changed now that he's reported, but even with them there, they were still a bad defense, and he had 17 and a half sacks. That speaks volumes. Al Golden, though, is an interesting hire for them at defensive coordinator. Pittsburgh will probably be their 9-8 team. They'll probably steal a game or two from everybody in the division, likely. But they won't be the massive threat. But it points to the Bills in the AFC East having a much easier time on paper to be able to be a real contender in the one seed conversation. Again, albeit again. But the problem has been teams like Baltimore or Kansas City just don't slip up for an entire year. And in part, their division rivals don't hurt them. Burrow, 2 years ago, was injured. It's Jake Browning. Cleveland, bad. Steelers, not good. For years with Kansas City, the division slips all over itself, and Kansas City is able to just run away with it. They were able to last year, mainly due to luck, but they were still able to last year. And then the South, look, Tennessee got the one seed a few years ago, and it didn't mean much. And it's hard for me to point to any of those teams. Even Houston, with how good their defense is, that offensive line is horrific. I don't know if that's going to be better, worse, the same. I think it could be all three, but I'm pointing more towards either the same or worse, and that's not good enough. Denver is the team, though, that I'm starting to zero in on. But it entirely depends on if Bo Nix is able to take a step forward and if they do have enough on offense. They look like a team that could be a real problem. And they sort of, 2 years ago I thought this with Green Bay in the NFC. Green Bay gets the 7 seed. They're the only team with the 7 seed to win a playoff game in this era. Against Dallas, they blow them out. Jordan Love's awesome. I really like how they're building their wide receiver room. I still do, by the way, getting Matthew Golden. But they haven't taken that step forward. Part of that last year was Jordan Love got hurt early, and he just kind of never got into a rhythm. And he's a little bit of a wild horse anyways. There are games where he's just making throws that three guys in the world can make. There are other days where he's attempting those throws, and it's not a good idea. But I thought this way about Green Bay about 2 years ago when they lose in the NFC divisional game, that it was just like, okay, like they're going to arrive next year. Like this was their announcement to the world that they're back, that Love is, at worst the Jeff Garcia of the Green Bay Packers. Next year's going to be their year. And it wasn't. I sort of am feeling that same way about Denver. Now I want to see, is there that linear progression for this team? I think there absolutely can be. And now I look years down the road, they're starting to become a team I look at as we need to start mentioning them in the Baltimore, Kansas City, if you want them still, Bengals discussion. The Bills got through the Broncos last year pretty convincingly. There's one big play to start the game, not great, and then afterwards the Bills kind of blow them out. But it's not going to be the same team year after year. The Bills have had close wild card games against worse teams. And the Broncos, with Peyton, with Nix, and that defense could be a real problem going forward. But they're a bigger problem for teams like Kansas City. Kelce is getting older. Jones is getting older. We'll see what happens in the future with Worthy and Rice and Jalen Royals. But they are not always going to be the top dog. The Patriots really, in a certain extent, got free reign over the AFC East. None of those teams could figure out the quarterback position. Not one in that era. The two that had the best shot at it were Chad Pennington for 15 minutes with Miami and arguably the same thing with New York and Mark Sanchez. And Sanchez was really only even marketably good in the playoffs. Good on him, but that was really about it. It was his first 2 years. After that, it's a tire fire. The Patriots got carte blanche on the AFC East for 20 years because no one else in the division could figure out quarterback. They just simply couldn't. That is not true now in the AFC West. If the Chargers figure out the rest of their issues, they have the quarterback. I'm up and down on Herbert, but they've got him. He's good enough. You've seen some of those games against the Chiefs. He's good enough to go toe-to-toe with them. And the same is true with the Broncos and Bo Nix. And that was his rookie year. if they don't have a blocked kick, they beat them in Arrowhead. Was that game in Arrowhead? It may have been in Denver. Regardless, if they get that kickoff, they probably beat them there. Should be a lot of fun in the AFC this year. And in part, it should be a lot of fun as Bills fans because, well, the AFC East, you look around and it's just, you know, there's nothing really here. To be fair, it almost is kind of like the AFC East when the Patriots are running the show. We don't know yet about Drake May. Tua, I think, is just good enough to be a starting caliber quarterback, but nothing more. You saw when they had a moment to take the division when the Bills were really down 2 years ago. They couldn't. They collapsed down the stretch. And then the Jets, I mean, it's Fields this year. We'll see what it's going to be next year. I imagine they're going to absolutely take one of these quarterbacks that are coming out this year. And there's a lot of quarterbacks coming out this year, I would imagine. There's a lot of good ones as well. They will likely be doing that. But that's where it's going to be fun for Bills fans, is that you look around the rest of the AFC and you wonder, man, do we got the easiest road going forward? And it could get even easier, as I've mentioned in the first hour, if they have some of these young guys really take that step forward. If Cole Bishop locks down the safety position, of course, missing today with a quad injury. Cornerback depth, better this year. Defensive line, much better this year, potentially. They may finally have, I think, more talent than a lot of these teams. That, for me, has maybe been the biggest issue for the Bills over the last few years. They have not had the closing talent. They've had good guys that you can absolutely make the playoffs with, you can absolutely win a Super Bowl with, unless you're going up against the dynasty of your era. That's your holdback. That's what's holding you back. Now I think they maybe have enough of these guys that maybe they don't have one guy. They don't have their Chris Jones. They don't have their Travis Kelce. But like in Moneyball, maybe they're just building them through multiple people. If the defensive line can really come at you in waves with TJ Sanders and Hoyt and Ogunjobi and Rousseau and Oliver and Epinesa, Javon Solomon, who I know Bobby Babich will be listening back to in just about 10 minutes or so, said he thinks he's having, he's worlds better than last year. Maybe you build them through the aggregate, plus having your all-world quarterback. I hate saying that it feels Super Bowl or bust for any team because it leads you to being almost definitely disappointed in a season. There's 32 teams, one of them wins it, right? We all know that. But we are getting to the end of the train station here. The Greyhound is pulling in pretty soon. And I liked what they've done in the draft this year. I like what they've done in their free agency moves. Now, for me, it really does just come down to, do the young guys pop, and do we have potentially some closers on this team? Again, they maybe have to build them in the aggregate, but maybe as well, you have a guy like Christian Benford, better help opposite him, he becomes that kind of guy. Does Bernard become that guy? He has been a heat-seeking missile for the ball, and he dealt with a lot of injuries last year. Missing games, I think he played a 13 in the regular season. Because if he's all of a sudden got Milano, who's playing at all-pro level, next to him, maybe he's that guy. I think he absolutely can be. Maybe he should be the guy we're talking about, not Ed or Rousseau or Benford. Maybe it is Bernard, because he's the guy that makes the big plays. The punch-out against Mark Andrews. That was the big thing when he first took the starting middle linebacker role, was Edmonds just, he was always just a step too slow to get to the ball, to make that big play. But he was good enough to be a starting middle linebacker. And then they bring in Bernard, and any of those issues are gone. He is a big play guy that shuts down games. He gets turnovers. That's a big calling card for the defense. We know that absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on the Bills, what you're looking for in the preseason. I've mentioned that as well. For me, at least, it's going to be a lot of the young guys and what's going on at the defensive line, at cornerback. Talking with Sal Capaccio a little bit ago, and we did talk about like cornerback and the fact that even if Maxwell Hairston, who has not picked up a major injury, it's an LCL sprain, likely a few weeks, Not season-ending by any means. There's a good chance he'll be ready to go by week one. But he'll miss a good bit of camp here. We mentioned that even if he had gone down for a major injury, they've loaded so many corners onto this roster. Guys that have been on the team before that they probably don't go the route they, you know, do with some positions where you find out the next day, oh, they brought this wide receiver in on a workout. They brought this linebacker in on a workout. Why? Well, this guy's going to be down for a few weeks. They don't have that problem. They are loaded at corner. Where a guy like Dane Jackson, who knows the system and has been here for a few years, might be battling for a job on the roster. Dorian Strong is a late-round pick out of Virginia Tech, and he's been a guy already that is getting some headlines from Bills reporters who have been at camp this whole time. And Jordan Hancock as well, I know, has gotten a shout-out from defensive coordinator Bobby Babich, mentioning how he's looked and the versatility he is going to offer this defense. It's going to be enough to watch, I think, on this team to have some storylines. Again, you're not going to have that rookie quarterback that you have to. It's a planned event. You've got to be in your lazy boy 10 minutes before because you got to get ready to watch this guy and every throw he's going to make. It's not that. But we know where the Bills' issues were last year, and they addressed every one of them in bulk for many of them. And yeah, you can only take so much from preseason, right? They're in a way meaningless games. They don't count. Guys won't be going full bore. You're not going to be dealing with a lot of starters, right? But if I see TJ Sanders, Deion Walker being real problems for opposing defenses, I'm going to start getting excited. That is just a fact. Because if they get any of that going on the defensive line, this is a team that will be back in the AFC Championship. They just will be. They have an all-world quarterback. Allen is simply too talented to not be a threat for that every year on him alone. So if they had anything in the pass rush, this team could be hellraisers all year. They beat Mahomes and the Chiefs a few times in this run here if they got any pass rush. They almost got it with Von Miller. You saw how it looked in the regular season game. They don't have him at the end of the year. He tears his ACL on Thanksgiving. But maybe they've now built that guy through the aggregate in bulk of just having a number of guys that can come at you in waves. And that's not even to mention that maybe somebody like a TJ Sanders is a home run for them in the second round. 803-0550, the number to call. I have mentioned it. We will listen back to Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich. We'll do that after a quick timeout. But I do want to remind you that you can listen to our station all week for a chance to win a pair of grandstand tickets to NASCAR's Cup Series weekend from Friday, August 8th to Sunday, August 10th at Watkins Glen International. The Go Bowling at the Glen brings the drivers of the NASCAR Cup Series to battle it out around the historic New York road course. Tickets are on sale for the entire NASCAR weekend at theglen.com. Zach Jones hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones hanging out with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Of course, it's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Hall of Fame game is tonight. Chargers and Lions playing in Canton. If you don't know, the Hall of Fame class for this year, Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Antonio Gates, and Sterling Sharp. Tonight's game is going to get going at 8 o'clock. I also heard Brett Musburger is going to be part of the broadcast as well in the second half. That might force me to watch a little bit of the second half or at least see the highlights on Twitter. I know for a fact I will find something of his broadcast on Twitter, but a part of me in the moment, may want to wait to see him come on. I love Brett Musburger. I kind of grew up like towards the end of like his career, and he was just like that was one of the voices, especially for college football. Many have listened to me know I'm a massive college football junkie. He was one of those guys when I was growing up. Also, do want to remind you that as we get ready to listen back to Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich, the coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Figu Car and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Now, we go back to before practice began as Bills DC Bobby Babich spoke with the media.
Red, white, white.
Yeah, what happened?
Mess of shoes.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. Thank you.
I like that, the robe color, though.
Yeah, yeah. Color. Yeah, I just like the fact that we're talking about my what I'm wearing and not the defense. Can I say something real quick, Maddie? Where's Vic? Is Carucci
here?
He's not here today. We share the same birthday, so our birthday was yesterday. I was going to say happy birthday, but it wasn't about me. It was about Vic. It was about Vic. No. I was looking for Vic. I didn't see him yet. So go ahead, Maddie. I'm sorry.
We're recording. We still wish him happy birthday.
Yeah, Vic, happy birthday, wherever you are out in the.
Since the pads have gone on, what has impressed you about your group?
You know, I mean, I think the best thing I could say is this. We got a lot of things to improve on, whether you talk about fundamentally, individually, per player, or whatever that is. But when you look at the big picture, like when you close your eyes and kind of, you know, you want to see what it looks like in the pads is, you know, I think we've said it for years, you know, we want to win the line of scrimmage, you know, and we're certainly battling our offense for that line of scrimmage, and we're doing a good job. And then the physicality piece of things, I think the best thing to say is that during our tenure here, and, you know, a lot of us have been here 9 years. I shouldn't say a lot of us. I don't know how many are left. But, you know, it's always been an emphasis, and it's part of our philosophy and all those type of things. But I think the short duration of when we arrived to showing up physically, that was good. But it doesn't matter, you know, how early you do it. It's that you do it consistently, and that's what we're looking for. So those are a couple things.
Full speed football. So are you able on the practice tape evaluation to determine whether your D linemen are effectively holding them up so your linebackers can run free and hit?
I would disagree on you with the fact that it's not full. We are full speed. We're just not taking dudes to the ground. And then sometimes you see, I got to yell at our guys because they're taking guys to the ground. You know what I mean?
The question is, how free are they keeping your linebackers to run and get those?
Yeah, I mean, we just talk about doing our 1-11th. We're not teaching. Everybody's got a key and everybody's got a technique that they're supposed to perform on every play. Whatever that causes, you know, whether you're keeping linebackers free or they decide to free release on a run the O-line to the second line or to the second level, it's just everybody identifying their key and doing their job. You know, like I just said, if they want a free release to the second level, that means the defensive line has one-on-ones in a run game. So the expectation is that, yes, you control your primary gap, but we got to be able to also, like, we got to get to the ball and tackle the football. That's the whole goal, is tackle the football without them gaining any yards in the run game, keep it elementary, right? So I think everybody is honing in on their 1-11th. We certainly have a lot of room to grow, but I would say that we're treating this as full-speed, game-like reps. That's the message that we send our guys. It's just don't take them to the ground yet.
We know that Max is going to be missing some time.
Yep.
In your experience, what is the key for a young player, a rookie, who misses time early to be able to get back and kind of be where he needs to be at that point, if that makes sense?
Right. I mean, we've dealt with it. We've dealt with it over the years. I mean, I can think back to when I was a linebacker coach with TB, right? You know, and then TB missed the entire preseason, you know. And, you know, we had a plan in place, and, you know, we certainly have walkthroughs. We have things that he can do during practice and those type of things when he's available to be able to do those things, you know. But it's hard to simulate game speed. You can't simulate the physicality of the NFL. So certainly going to be an adjustment period there, but we'll have a plan and it'll be well thought out and be rocking and rolling.
For TP though, he had a year in the system before he missed that part of camp.
True.
For a rookie, how hard is this foundational part of the season to miss that he's going to have to be out for a while.
Yeah, it's tough. But the NFL is not worried about us and trying to get him caught up. So we're going to do everything we can to make sure he's ready to go and can perform. Certainly, we've got to be creative in the ways we go about it. But between Joe Dana, Jamile, myself, we'll definitely have a plan and we'll do the best we can to get him ready to go. Certainly, you know, like I said earlier, one of our goals is to prosper in adversity. And certainly this is a case of adversity and we need to prosper. We can't hang our heads.
Bobby, you saw you go up to him as he was coming off the field with that injury. What's kind of been your conversations with him like, and how has he responded?
Yeah, I think with all players, you know, they want to be available. They don't want to let their teams down. We talk about being a good teammate and, you know, the competitive nature. Sean and Brandon do a great job of identifying those players as we acquire them. But the biggest thing that I tell any guy that potentially would be facing adversity with injury is don't let negative thoughts get in your head. You know, whatever you believe in, but I do believe that negativity in your mind can certainly affect your recovery process. And it's, hey, stay positive, take it minute by minute, day by day, rehab session by rehab session. And when you're ready to go, we're ready to go. But you try to think too far ahead, oh, I'm going to be out there. No, literally just worry about today. Worry about what we're doing right here.
How valuable is it to have depth at the position, but also depth in guys that have started games for you, have been in this system, that you kind of know what you're getting when you put out there in Jamarcus today?
You're talking about corner?
Yeah.
I mean, I really, and I'll say it, I really love the competition in that room and the depth in that room. There's a lot of skins on the wall in that room, per se. There's a lot of youth that we're excited about. So, I mean, I've said it before, we don't flinch. Like, next man up. You know, next man slides right up, and, you know, for instance, Dorian's going to have to get more reps, Dorian Strong, and that's what it is. And our expectation is that the expectation for every player is the same, you know, in our eyes, that we set for him. Not for no offense to you guys, not for what you set for him, not for what Bill's. We've got to stay inside our building, and we'll set those expectations, and they're certainly high, but they know what they are. So, you know, it's certainly good to have those guys here.
Hey, Bobby, with Jordan Hancock behind the scenes, how does he split his time, if all, between nickel and safety? And how has he done in that, picking that up?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a plan where we started him one way. We've kind of moved him another way. And then we're going to try to get to a happy medium of where we're at. But it's hard on him. It's hard on him. You know, and that's fine. I've said it all the time. We want to create a sense of urgency and a little bit of chaos for those rookies. So it's hard early. And then once they start to gain repetition, it starts to calm down. So, you know, we have a plan, like I said before. Don't need to go into a lot of detail with it, but there's certainly a plan.
Coach, you're past kind of the halfway point. What have you noticed from TJ?
Are we?
From the start of camp until now?
We're past the halfway point. Jeez. I don't even know what day of the week it is. Yeah, I mean, it's consistency. We need, you know, TJ's talented. We all know that. Like, he knows that. Everybody knows that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But what we're looking for him is the consistency day in and day out. And really, like I said earlier, it's just read your key, use your technique, and we'll go from there. But we've got to make sure there's enough leeway for him to use his God-given ability, which there's ability there. So, we just need to make sure we're getting that consistency out of him.
Where do you see him from Deion Walker? Ed Oliver said that he's a dancing bear. He's a big guy on ballerina legs.
Yep.
Is it crazy to see how big of a human being he can be and the way he moves?
I mean, I've said it multiple times. I mean, people that are his size shouldn't be able to do some of the things he does. But again, just like TJ, we need to see consistency, because if we don't get the dancing bear, you know, all that type of stuff, it doesn't matter. So, you know, we need to make sure that consistency is in there. And I get it. He's talented. But, you know, this is the NFL. Everybody's talented. So, you know, certainly he's got some God-given ability. But he needs to do his 111th for us.
Where have you seen improvement from Javon Solomon? What excites you about what he can bring in that pass rush?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen and I'll talk about him quick. I've seen a big jump from Javon from last year to this year. And I think he's doing some really good things out there. He's certainly pushing that group. And, you know, it's just he's a year more comfortable, right? Like, and he knows what to expect. He knows, you know, he knows going into the offseason what it is. It's not his first time listening to me in front of the defense. It's not his first time listening to Sean in front of the team. So he can hone in a little bit more on potentially mindset, going out every day to practice, locking in mentally. When you come out here as a rookie, sometimes it's wide-eyed, like, oh, what's going on here? You know, so he certainly has shown some things. We'll see where it goes.
We've seen some splash plays from Matt Milano so far this camp. What are you looking to see out of him, and then, you know, how's he been responding so far?
Matt's great. Stay healthy. That's it.
Bobby, in terms of injured players, you said you want to make sure they take it minute by minute, not get into the sky is falling mentality. How do you approach that with players to make sure they are doing that?
And you're saying our defense in general, every player. Yeah, I think it's just constant reminders for us of what our expectations are of our guys. You know, and this goes back, like I've said it before, you learn from players, and, you know, you've got to, you know, even me as a coordinator, like you're looking ahead. That's part of the job. Like, okay, got to get ahead of things and make sure we're preparing for what we might see. But I think it's really important that the players, you do enough to make sure the players are right where they're at, whether that's constant reminders, whether that's, you know, honing in on the detail of every play, whatever it is. There's a lot of different ways you can go about it. Certainly the position coaches have different ways, and certainly I have different ways. But it's just constant reminders. It's just constant reminders of, you know, we're not thinking about the meetings after practice. You know, we're not thinking about the last period of practice today. We are focused on what's about to happen, and there should be guys out there early working on things, and we're only worried about that right now.
How impressed are you with what seems like a rapid ascension of leadership for Christian Benford, who, I mean, he played at a great level last year. It seems like he's improved a little bit this year. But just the way he seems to have the pulse of that room in what feels like a pretty quick amount of time.
Yeah, I don't think Christian Benford's changed. I think, you know, Christian Benford is not a man of many words, as we all know. Extremely smart, extremely intelligent. You know, and I think it's more like literally those young guys, I tell them all the time, and I show clips of CB, and I've said it before, CB does everything right, you know, 99% of the time, and that's the expectation for him. But it's going to be more for him of the young guys especially, or even when we're in defensive team meetings, of the D-line, seeing him doing everything exactly right. He's not going to say a lot, but the examples he puts on tape is going to elevate the play of those around him, which, you know, that's leadership, elevating people around you, you know, and lifting up people around you. That's, to me, that's the definition of it. So, we good?
That was Buffalo Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich early this morning before practice. I did like that he kept it short and sweet with Matt Milano. Matt's great. Stay healthy. That's it. And I think that's where most people feel with Milano. The Bills, in some ways, like they did with Trey White, have learned to live without Milano over the past 2 years, coming off his all-pro season. But now, I've talked with Sal a number of times on this. You've probably seen it on social media and heard other reporters talk about it. Milano's looked great. Does that mean he's going to be an all-pro again? Probably not, to be perfectly honest. He's 31, 30. You know, if he's dealt with injuries, maybe not. But also, he is one of those named guys for the Bills, and if he is in a good spot like he was 2 years ago, there could be a lot of fun, especially in that linebacker room when you add in a healthy Milano and a healthy Terrell Bernard. There could be fireworks for that group. 803-0550, the number two call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to WGR. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Did mention in the first hour, today is the trade deadline in Major League Baseball, 6 p.m. deadline. The Padres have been very active today. I've already mentioned for the Blue Jays, they add Shane Beamer. It was a one-for-one. They sent Cal Stevens to Cleveland. Padres, though, they go to the A's, get closer Mason Miller and starting pitcher J.P. Sears. And now they may even be in on talks to get Stephen Kwan, although they're with a number of teams trying to get the two-time All-Star from Cleveland. Them, I know the Dodgers as well, at least from John Heyman is saying that. And then Also, the Yankees could be involved today as well for the likes of Sandy Alcantara. They, though, from Heyman, are competing along with the Astros, Cubs, Red Sox, and then he even says among teams in the Sandy Alcantara talks. We'll see if anything comes from that. But baseball deadline always seems to be a lot of fun, a lot of moving parts. Teams are much more willing to move off of prospects, I think, than other sports, which leads it to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of movement on days like today. Personally, as a Halos fan, I'd like to see them move guys like Taylor Ward or Luis Renjifo, but we'll see if that comes to pass. Also in baseball today, the Bisons are in action, 6:35 tonight. At home hosting the Mets. That game is over on our sister station, the Bet 1520. So do check that out if you're not going to be at the ballpark tonight. Also, want to remind you that coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher is brought to you by Figo Car and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. I have mentioned it a lot today. Tonight is the Hall of Fame game between the LA Chargers and the Detroit Lions. Trey Lance will be starting for the Chargers. I'm excited to see him. He is somebody I mentioned in the first hour. I liked him a lot when he was at North Dakota State. I felt bad for him when he kind of, it felt like, didn't get a fair shake in San Francisco. It sort of felt like Shanahan never really wanted him. The big reports there was that he wanted Mac Jones. He finally has him now on his roster. And then I look at him, too, like with a guy like Anthony Richardson, who, you know, has all the physical talent in the world, but seemingly the team that drafted him didn't have really a lot of patience with him. But he maybe, likely, didn't put himself in a great situation last year, of course, you know, sitting out, you know, for a play or two because he was tired. You know, that's not good at all. But we'll see, you know, what Lance looks like. He's a guy that I mentioned, too. He's had like 460 passing attempts since 2019. Didn't play in 2020 due to the pandemic. Sits most of 21 and then gets hurt right at the beginning of 22. Never really got to see what Trey Lance could be. And I'm perfectly honest, his career is not going anywhere. But he is also sort of the backup quarterback I wish the Bills would invest in. Just that uber athlete, if you figured him out, he could be a real nice trade piece. I love what the Eagles did years ago when they did have a lot of those young quarterbacks, not even just young, just quarterbacks that they could trade away, guys like Nick Foles, and use them really as a commodity to get a lot of draft picks. A lot like, too, when teams don't sign back certain players because, well, they're getting their compensatory pick and they know that's going to work for them. I love when teams like the Eagles did that. That's going to do it for me, though, today. I'll be back on tomorrow. But coming up next, Sabres Live. This is WGR.